Welcome to the Friends of Zane Adams, aka FOZA podcast, bringing awareness of postpartum depression, suicides, and the children who are left behind. We'll be spotlighting positive outcomes from mothers as well as healthcare experts and counselors. Would you know the signs of PPD? Would you know how to help a loved one? Stay tuned. As a community, we can do more to support maternal mental wellness.
Welcome, FOZA fans, and thank you for joining in on a new FOZA podcast. This is episode 25, and I'm Paulette Smith. I'm here today to share information that I hope you will share to help stop the silence, the shame, the stigma, the suicides, and the suffering that can accompany postpartum depression. Friends of Zane Adams, aka FOZA Inc., is a 501c3 nonprofit organization working to provide supportive resources to families affected by postpartum depression, maternal suicides, and related maternal illnesses. We provide resource locator services, and we also offer an annual educational scholarship to college-bound students who have lost a mother due to maternal suicide. Before beginning, I need to say a few words about triggers. This is a safe place. However, we may discuss topics that can be sensitive and may act as a trigger for some members of our audience. The content we discuss serves to provide information, education, and advocacy only. If you are experiencing an emergency, please call the National Suicide Prevention Lifeline. That's 988. And if you're not experiencing an emergency, you're seeking consultation, then please check with your doctor or professional caregivers. And if you feel that your voice is still not being heard, please don't give up seeking help. Visit us online at fozainc.org, and we'll try to assist you in finding resources in your local area. And you're never required to provide us with any private or sensitive information. And now, FOZA fans, we want to talk about time. Now, we had a conversation about time in episode 23. There we discussed the right time to seek help if you're feeling down. But this will be different. This discussion about time is going to be coming from an expert on time management and a certified everything DISC practitioner. Today, our guest is Gloria Jean Brown. She's the owner of EBGB Enterprises, LLC. That's a multifaceted company formed by Gloria Jean and her husband, Earlton Brown. There she provides time management coaching services through Coaching by GJ. She has proudly served our country in the U.S. Air Force. She's traveled the world, and she's a mom and grandmom. Now, Gloria Jean is also an author. She has books that can be found on Amazon, including 365 Tips to a More Efficient You. And I was attracted to her through her daily online posts. They're so good. And I signed up for her newsletter. It's called Third Thursday with GJ. I could see how busy moms and moms-to-be, especially those with jobs inside and outside the home, can reduce stress and even find extra time for self-care just by following some of her tips and strategies. So I stepped up, I connected with Gloria Jean, and I asked her if she'd share some of the knowledge and assistance that she provides to managers and entrepreneurs to help them overcome their overwhelm. Because I believe those same strategies can help moms and moms-to-be in their everyday lives. And guess what? She agreed. So I'm going to step aside and bring up efficiency, time management coach, author, and everything DISC practitioner, Gloria Jean. Welcome, welcome to the FOZA podcast. So glad to have you here with us today.
Thank you. I'm happy to be here.
We've talked a lot and we've gone over so many things, but I was so excited about getting you on because I know what you're going to be bringing is going to be practical and positive, and it's going to make a difference in the busy lives of our listeners. So I want to get started by having you tell us, Gloria Jean, what you want us to know about you.
Oh, gee. Let's see. Number one, I'm an only child. I have been in the Air Force. I was in the Air Force for almost 11 years. I have two daughters. Well, thank you. Have two daughters, four grandchildren. But I've always been the person that everyone sort of came to when it came to time management, or do you have something, you know, ones that had something, always had something in their purse.
Right.
So I've always been that person, and I can always keep track of people and events and things like that. So it's my God-given gift. I'll just put it that way, because I've always done that. Mm-hmm.
We're just glad that you use that God-given gift that you have, because I certainly enjoy the interaction that I've had with you. And I wanted to tie information about time management into the busy lives of moms and birthing people, because I know for a fact I have a young grandbaby, and I know for a fact a few extra moments of being able to breathe and relax makes all the difference for my daughter in her day. And I'm just so happy when I can help her that way. But I know that you help executives and you help entrepreneurs, and I know that you can, any time management is time management. It's a good thing. So I know you can give us some tips.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. One of the things about the community that you're primarily involved with, when you're dealing with children, of course, they have no concept of the time management that you're trying to put into place. And especially when you're having, when you have a newborn,
yeah.
It's not the same as the general time management tips I can give you for an office or for your business, because you have a little person there that is totally 100% dependent upon you.
Yes.
And you have to shove a lot of stuff to the corner, whether or not you have help. You just can't operate in the same way that you were before you gave birth. That's number one. So it's an adjustment. It takes a little bit to figure out how to do it. One of the tips I'm sure everyone has heard is, you know, to take a nap or take a break when your baby is asleep.
Mm-hmm.
Well, they may not be asleep when you need to do something.
Yeah.
So you have to kind of learn to shift things around and know that it's okay. And that's the main thing. Getting overwhelmed is quite easy in those beginning months when you have a newborn. And, you know, technically, you're the adult in the room. And so you have to put some of those things aside. And, you know, people, friends, family can either help out or they need to get out of your way.
I'm there with you. And this is another thing that I wanted to bring up, too, as I was listening to you. Sometimes a mom, she feels alone. Sometimes she is alone, but sometimes she has help around her, and she doesn't really ask. She feels like she's being a bother, or she feels as if she should be able to do it, because sometimes we have this supergirl, superwoman kind of feeling about our lives. And one thing I was reading in your book, one of your books, was that you were talking about the office, you were talking about delegate. And, of course, that's an office thing. You usually have a team of people around you in an office. But I would like for young moms and birthing people to think about the people around them as a team as well. If she's always, you know, been in the home, she's never really worked outside the home, she might not have that team thought that way. But it's very good. And when you talk about it, even though you're talking about the office, it's very clear that that could translate for
a mom
has people around her, and getting them to help her out and not being ashamed or afraid to ask for help.
No, it's the same thing as it is in the office. If you don't let them know what you need, they don't know. You think they should, but they don't. So you have to kind of direct the people around you. I need for you to do, maybe clear the table so I can change the baby, or whatever it is. Unfortunately, you have to really be a director. This is what I need done. Because they'll just sit there. They just figure you can handle it. You used to handle it before the baby came. You can still do this. If you can't, you need to say, hey, I need your help, and this is what I need. Because we do get into that syndrome, and I kind of laugh sometimes. I was up late one Sunday night ironing my husband's shirts because I thought that's what I needed to be doing as the wife. And he woke up and said, what are you doing? And I said, I'm ironing your shirts. And he said, I can do that. And it was, and it hit me. It's like, I thought I was supposed to do this. Oh, I haven't ironed the shirt since. That was a total relief for me, all because he said that one thing. We think we need to do all of these things for our family. The family needs to sometimes do their part and help us out. You know, when my children were younger and they would, you know, have their, they could have any toy out in their room that they wanted. But at 6 o'clock, you need to start cleaning up your room and put all those toys back into the toy box. That's your job. And I made that clear to them. This is what you have to do to help me out. Because at that point, they were too young to help in the kitchen or, you know, that kind of thing. And as they get older, you know, start teaching them things to do to help out. When you are a new mother, it's sometimes a little bit different because, you know, it may just be you and your husband, that sort of situation. And again, tell him, I need your help. He just thinks you can handle it too. But as your children get older, start to teach them things that they can do to help out around the house. That maybe they can't use the washer and dryer, but they can fold clothes. So you do what's appropriate for their age level, but get them involved. Don't keep it a secret that you need help.
Absolutely. And that helps them as well, because my little toddler, she loves to help. And I'll tell you, she's 3 years old, and she loves to rinse the dishes off before they go into the dishwasher.
Mm-hmm.
She has
dishwasher.
She has her own little separate thing, and she likes to wipe them off, and she just knows that she's a big person and she really likes helping mommy.
Exactly.
Well, you know,
it's
easy to get overwhelmed. You know, your tag, I love, and you go ahead and say your tag, helping.
Oh, what, make your own sunshine? That's one of them.
That's one of them, but the one I like best is helping people overcome their overwhelm.
Yes, our topic, yes, that too. And there's a lot of ways to do that. The overwhelm comes because of an intense set of emotions, and whether they're negative, being stress and anger, or they could even be positive, joy, gratitude, I have a new baby, this is what I've always wanted. But you have to keep a balance. And that's what we should always strive for. The extremes are not good, whether it's all good or it's all bad. It's finding that middle ground. And, of course, when it is negative, you're feeling unhappy, you don't feel confident in yourself, and especially if it's your first child, you really don't know. It's a little bit different when you have the second one. It's kind of like, oh, I went through this the first one. You're okay. That kind of, you know, feeling. But first, when you really don't know, you're not, it's like anything that we do for the first time, even riding a bike. That's why we had training wheels.
Right.
To get us used to, you know, going down the street on this bicycle. And then we got better and the wheels came off and we were good to go. But you may have trouble making decisions because this is unfamiliar territory for you. So, you know, get help from friends. Other mothers that you know, or, you know, of course, nowadays you can Google anything in the world. But get some suggestions, some pointers, make your own decisions about how to handle a situation. But if you're constantly feeling overwhelmed, you need help and you need to let people know.
Right, because overwhelm can definitely be a contributor to postpartum depression, and especially if mothers, you know, predisposed to be feeling down. And we have a lot of conversations with our moms about speaking up when they're feeling down, and just talking about it can be a great relief. But having someone, like you say, actually help you take action, That is another thing altogether. Now, a lot of our moms are working moms, or they maybe having their first child, but they were busy, really busy working women before, they decided to start their family, or before they, became pregnant. So how would you, or do you have any advice for how they can bring, they might have some time management skills in the office, how they can bring that into their new life with this new person coming in? You got any, any thoughts about
that? Yes. Try to have the items that you need prepared, the crib, what you need for diapers and all of that, maybe in one location that's convenient for you.
Yeah.
That's definitely one of the things. Also, people need to take, as simple as it sounds, take time to breathe for a minute. Let me stop myself. What is it I need to be doing? I need to change the diaper. Do you have everything there so it's handy for you? You don't have to go running over to get this. The lotion's in the bathroom. The baby's here on the bed. Have everything in one place, which makes it easier for you. And it's just kind of thinking through what I need to do in this, for this particular situation. Feeding time. Kids love to play with their food. Just be prepared for that. Have something on the floor, and have something, you're going to have to kind of let them play around with it because, of course, to them it's new. And, of course, to us as the adult, we just see this big mess being made. But, hey, it doesn't last forever. So it's just kind of, like I say, thinking ahead. If you're putting your child down for a nap, you may need to take that time for some self-care for you. You don't necessarily have to go to sleep. You may want to just sit and have a cup of tea and read a book, or just have a cup of tea and just sit.
and
take
breathe,
that time
like
to
you said.
Do that. Yes, exactly, exactly. Take that time to do that. Just like I say, it's a lot of things, and it depends on how wired you were in your work world. But all that's going to have to kind of stop and reshift when you have the baby. Because like I say, it's a totally, new person who's absolutely dependent on you. And so, you can't do some of the shortcuts that you can do when your children are older.
Right. Having things in an organized way, like you said, diapers, anything you might need in order to take care of your young ones, especially if you have other little ones around. Because for those who never had the joy of an infant in their life, they may underestimate what it takes to fulfill all of their needs. As you say, they're 100%, especially when they're really, really little, every single thing is dependent on you, and it can seem overwhelming, especially if, you weren't really, really prepared. I wanted to talk a little bit with you about the work that you do in the behavioral assessment world.
Oh, the assessment?
I know that you do that with your clients in the work world, but as you said, babyhood is not going to last forever. So at some point you're going to get a hold of everything that you need to do, and your life will have changed a bit. So do you ever speak with moms in that way where their life has changed, another whole person is there, and they are trying to then organize things, not so much in the home, but just in their head and in their lifestyle?
Well, with the behavior style, and I'll run through those quickly as to what they are. And because of the behavior style, that's how we tend to act. But some thoughts have come into mind, and one of the things that happened for me when I had my children, I was in the Air Force. Mm-hmm. So I'm in the military, and although I had, because both my children were born C-section, I had 8 weeks home before I had to go back to work.
Yes.
But when you go back to work, you are back to work. They don't want to hear, I need to do this for my child, or I gotta leave early to do this. You don't have that flexibility in the military. So So right. You also have to be prepared in certain situations to have very good child care. Now, whether that's a family member, the mother, a child care facility, which I know nowadays is almost akin to having another mortgage, but you have to have that in place, and you also always need a backup. Because if your child is ill, they're going to call you to come and get your child.
Right.
And you may or may not be able to leave your job. Now, I couldn't, being in the military, I couldn't say, oh, my child has chicken pox, I have to go home right now.
Right.
That doesn't happen.
Right.
So that's another thing to consider is to have that in place, have looked at places really while you're pregnant to see what you're going to need to do when you do go back to work. Because those 6 weeks, 6 to 8 weeks, it goes by really, really quickly. But as far as the behavior style, it's called DISC. The letters are D-I-S-C. D is a dominant person. They like immediate results. They like direct answers. They are the take charge type of person. So pretty much that type of person is going to make their needs known to you.
Okay.
I is called influence. They are what I call people persons. They like to interact with people. They like to be very social, go to the movies, go shopping, that sort of thing. They're talkative, so they too may express to you that, hey, I need help, or this is going on, you got any ideas.
Gotcha.
The next two are kind of, you have to be kind of careful what's going on. S is for steadiness. These people are very sincere. They like to cooperate with others. They seek
people
stability.
Can.
And
okay.
They like a conflict-free environment. So they may feel that they are bothering someone if they ask them for help. They find it difficult with change. Now you have this whole little new person who really can't tell you anything. So that can be a little disconcerting for that type of person. The C is for a conscientious person. They like to pay attention to the details. Make sure, for them, everything has to be logical and make sense. Have some sort of order or a system. Now, they're more likely to have everything in place that they may need, but they are still trying to learn this new person that they have. And
well,
and they, too, may not be as forthcoming because they think that I'm supposed to be able to handle all of this. So they, too, may be a little reluctant in asking for help.
Uh-huh. Okay. Then some people, as you were speaking, and that's very informative, I saw myself as a couple of those.
Yes, you can be. We are a mix of all four, but generally there's one or two dominant ones that once you kind of know what the styles are, you can kind of at least see that they may be a D or an I. That sort of thing. So, yes, we are a mix of all four, but generally one to two can be ones that we, once we know what the definition is, we can think of people who fit that. Yes.
Absolutely popped up in my mind. Now, when one of the audience members, when they read your book and they feel like, well, I might need to go a little bit deeper in this, and they want to consult with you, what might they expect during their initial consultation?
Well, what I do is, one of the things I do, if you're going to be an actual client, now, even if you're not, I can go through just what I just went through and kind of claim what the styles are. I give them some practical examples of people that they would probably recognize. If you're a client, you're going to take the assessment, and then we usually take maybe 15, 20 minutes to go back through it. I have a copy. They have a copy, and they always do. It's like a 20-some page report, and go through that. And then we start working on what some of their challenge areas are. But I try to do it based on their style so they're more willing to make the changes they need to make. they understand now, this is what my style is, this is me. So many times people try to emulate other people. And that's always a problem because you don't know their history. You don't know why they do what they do. Wow. You see it, it looks good to you from a distance, but we all have our little quirks, and you don't know that other side of that person, generally. You just see one particular side. So it's learning how to, if you're a dominant person, you are. You're focused on the big picture. You're not looking at the little things. You're not looking at, I have diapers. Do I have enough? Okay. Do I have everything that I need? Did I set dinner down tonight? They're hungry now. They want to eat. You know?
Right.
So it's how you manage your day. So how I work with them.
While you were talking, one of past guests came to my mind. She has a program. She helps moms in the postpartum period, and mm-hmm. I've mentioned her podcast before, and she talks about new moms. Every time a baby is born, a mommy is born, even if she has other children, because every child is different.
Mm-hmm.
So
right.
when you're talking about your assessment with a mom or with a person who thinks, well, you know what, you can help me because you can help me learn myself. You can help me decide who I am. I heard you say, you know, some people try to be more like other people. I think maybe because mm-hmm. they haven't found themselves, and now they have another whole human being to kind of deal with.
Right.
So I encourage anyone in the audience who's listening, I encourage you to look out for Gloria's books and all of the just a ton of resources that she has on her website. But I still want you to go ahead and if you weren't finished with your thought about behavioral assessment, go ahead and finish that thought.
Well, it's like I say, so often we're around different people. We don't know this piece about them for sure. We just see their action and we put a label to it. One of the examples I use, although it's more of a business related example, it is a D-style person. They're very domineering. And the example that always comes to mind for me that people can easily understand is when Ronald Reagan got shot and Alexander Haig took over, mm-hmm. that was yes. not his job to do. He was not the next one in line to take over anything. But no one was doing anything. So he said, okay, fine, I'm going to take over and do this. That's a D-style person. If no one's moving, he's going to take charge. Or they'll come into a room and say, oh, I don't like the way this is set up. Let's change this into a U-shape. So when you see that type of person and you have these different examples, like eyesight people, they are more people-oriented. They want to talk. They're not focused on so much the paperwork side of the office or bills at home. They just want to be social. Let's go have fun. Let's go play ball with the kids. But they don't look at what really needs to take place. So once
they know they can be a bit overwhelmed.
Yes, exactly. So once you know your style, it's fine. I mean, other people have seen it. They just didn't have a term for it in their head. Because
yes.
when I first took this, there was a lady in our office. And I said, oh, well, that explains you. And she says, well, I don't do that. I said, yes, you do. And everybody in the room said, yeah, you do. And she was rather surprised. We didn't know what the term it then, because this was all, you know, this was new to me, too, at that time. But now we have a framework to work with. So when you know something about someone, an S person, for example, they're very... They want to be kind of stroked. They want you to kind of ask how they are. You need a reporter. You need something. You don't just come in and say, hey, I need this. They want to have the, how was your weekend? I heard your mother was sick. Is she doing better? You get that over that part. Oh, by the way, can I have a copy of that report? If you don't do that, they think you're rude.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Now, the C person if they're working on something, they really don't want to be disturbed. So if you're coming in, come in and ask for what you want so I can give it to you so you can leave. And they're perfectly fine. They haven't been offended at all. But if you come in wanting to chit-chat and they're in the middle of working on something, then they're looking at you like you're rude. And it's like, how do I get this person out of my office? I'm trying to get something done here. Don't they see I look busy? So
right.
This kind of gives you a framework to recognize what's going on with the other person, and you act accordingly at that moment. Now, later on, my work is done, or, you know, whatever. Now I have time to be social. I can relax and you know, let my hair down, so to speak.
Right. Now, that S person, I found a lot of times during pregnancy, we say, you know, oh, well, she's sensitive, there's hormones or whatever. She might not have felt that way before she became pregnant, but she does need that extra care, that extra stroking,
exactly.
As you say. And if she's not getting that, that can really affect her. And she might not even know that she even needed that because she wasn't that type of person.
True.
Because your behaviors do, not only your body changes, but your mind and your spirit, your diet, everything changes. And so if you feel like if you know this information, and once again, I tell everyone, you know, check this out and feel free to, you know, connect with Gloria Jean, because when you know yourself, and other people can see what's going on, but when you know yourself, you're your best advocate. We always say you are
Absolutely.
Your own best advocate. But you have to know the information in order to do anything with the information. As Dr. Maya Angelou said, when you know better, then you do better. But
exactly.
I tell you one thing.
Exactly.
Can you imagine how the time has flown by? We have just been talking like we have been enjoying ourselves. And I know I've been enjoying myself.
Well, we have.
I want you to tell everyone just how they can connect with you and, you know, and invite them to do that.
Oh, absolutely. Feel free to always visit my website. It's coachingbygj.com. And my email address is GloriaJean@coachingbygj.com. I try to keep everything easy.
Absolutely. And I know I mentioned it earlier. I enjoy everything that you do on that daily basis kind of way, the information that you put out. It's so helpful. It's right on time. It's always timely, same time, but it's always timely. And I enjoyed your books as well. And I want to tell
you,
audience, I'm going to tell you again before you go. Before you go, Gloria Jean, I just want everyone to know that some of the things we've been talking about, and basically that getting other people involved, if you don't have anyone in your circle that you feel comfortable with, you should basically start with your doctor, start with your medical team, and get some referrals.
Yes.
And if you still don't have that comfort feeling, you can always go to FASAinc.org. And just click on FASA Finder, because that's what we do. We don't ask you any personal information. We just want your zip code and for you to check off the list what you need. And we will look in your area, in your zip code, and try to find resources that will work for you, telephone numbers that will answer, websites that will come up and won't go into an error message or whatever.
Yeah, that's very important.
But right now, I just want to say, I've enjoyed you being here. I'm hoping that I'm going to watch the numbers, because what you've been able to give us, like I say, was practical. I knew from the beginning it was going to be practical and it was going to be something that was going to be useful to everyone. And I'm hoping that I can get you back and we can talk about, especially if you get any of our audience coming into you and you find out that you are really, you know, have some clients that in that mom, in that perinatal or postpartum period who are really enjoying what you have, go ahead and gather up that information. We'll put it on our website. We're going to put your site on our site as well so that it will be just as easy to find you from the FASA site as it is from, you know, your social media.
Oh, good. I appreciate that.
We just know that time is something we can't recover. And so when you're talking about time, you're talking about something important, whether it's the office or whether it's at home.
So true. So true.
And I really enjoyed having you and look forward to you coming back speaking with us again. Okay?
Well, thank you. I would like to do that.
We love you.
Well, FASA fans, we want moms to be current moms, birthing people, caregivers, family members, friends, professionals, and even counselors and coaches to consider how time management can help reduce stress. And we want you to please visit Gloria Jean's website for resources and her books. YouTube podcasters, you can see her book covers right here and right now. There's a link below in the description to take you to her Amazon store. Remember to subscribe to our YouTube channel to be first in line for a new podcast. FASA offers a path for earning volunteer credits, or you can make a tax-deductible donation. And all of your donations go to keeping this podcast alive and growing awareness and advocacy. If you have resources you'd like to share on this podcast, materials that are related to maternal mental health, or ways to comfort the children who are left behind by maternal suicide, please let us know. Thanks again for your help to stop the silence, the shame, the stigma, the suicides, and the suffering that can accompany postpartum depression. This is Paulette Smith signing off in loving memory of Christina LaShawn Thompson Adams. Bye-bye now.